Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
We asked you to tell us how you feel about these student protesters. Hey, John, I'm in the minority maybe, but I think the campus protesters are great. They signal democracy is alive. I'm absolutely not in favor of taunting or violence or the disruption of the university operations. If the police have to drag people out of the occupied buildings, that's okay with me. But democracy is alive, says Jeff in Homewood. 773 said, I think the protesters and the protests on the college campuses are sad and terrible. It's ruining their spring on campus and their graduations. And one more, I'm irritated that a planned sit-in at my daughter's CPS high school canceled the already scheduled annual May 1st Senior Decision Day celebration. People are getting nervous about that, which should concern Kim Fox, the Cook County State's attorney. Kim, thanks for joining us again. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Isn't it a beautiful day in Chicago? Oh, my gosh.
It is. Spring has sprung.
So what's your thought about this? I know that you've met with the student leaders at U of C, Northwestern, DePaul. What are you talking about with them, and what are you hearing about how they are handling themselves?
Yes, certainly. In fact, I met with the administrative leaders of Northwestern, DePaul, U of C, UIC, and Loyola, including their police chiefs and dean of affairs. Listen, they are certainly aware that right now this is a volatile time on college campuses. They're watching what's happening across the country, and they are mindful that they want to protect students' First Amendment rights, and also mindful that there are folks on campus who are, you know, feeling intimidated and threatened in this environment. So trying to, you know, allow for free expression of students and at the same time keep students safe.
How do you decide who's a peaceful protester and who's not a peaceful protester?
Well, certainly we know that this country has a history of civil disobedience. And when we say peaceful protesters, it means just that, people who are not engaged in violence, people who are not engaged in active threatening hate speech to one another or to others, people who, you know, put their hands on others or destroy property. People gathering together in mass, even if they are trespassing on land, is what we would consider to be peaceful. We are talking about people who pose a physical threat to others that is not a peaceful protest.
Okay, but so even if I'm trespassing, which doesn't that break the law if they're not harming or an imminent threat to somebody, you're not interested in prosecuting that?
It's not that I'm not interested, John, and I love these conversations with you. As I say to people all the time, this country has a history of that. And I imagine back before I was born, when people were protesting and trespassing at lunch counters or trespassing on bridges. In the era of the 60s and the civil rights movement, yes, they were breaking the law. Absolutely. Martin Luther King was arrested multiple times. Others were arrested multiple times. The issue that we have is that we want to make sure that when we are using the force of the criminal justice system, even in these moments where people don't agree, that it is the best use of our resources. People being removed from places and not coming back, I think, is what we would want versus, particularly for folks, getting criminal records that will follow them for the rest of their life because they are participating in their First Amendment rights.
But you just said
so
people
it's not,
being...
not interested.
I understand that.
It's a history in this country. This isn't new.
I take your point, but you just said just now, you are or are not, do you want the police to physically remove the people then? What was your take on that?
No. I think what you should be proud of here in Chicago and Cook County is that we're not seeing what we're seeing overnight in Columbia or UCLA. I think it is an opportunity for law enforcement and administrators and students to say, how do we let your voices be heard without the use of force? And so what we have seen in demonstrated at Northwestern, what we are seeing at University of Chicago, is that level of engagement. If things become violent, that is a different scenario.
Okay, but
and what I think we're trying to do here is not introduce violence into those scenarios, with law enforcement. And we haven't seen that. We haven't seen that here.
Some Jewish students and Jewish leaders in Chicago feel that the presence of these gatherings is in itself quite intimidating. It almost borders on hate speech. What do you say to the Jews on these campuses who feel like this is a hostile environment for them?
It certainly is a tense environment. No one's debating that. And certainly the issues at play, I think we have to not conflate people raising issues and active anti-Semitism. And I think we've seen a lot of that. But how people feel is legitimate and real. However, if people are engaging in peaceful protests and are not engaging in active hate speech, are not engaging in physical threats of intimidation, college campuses where this type of debate happens becomes discomforting, and we have to make sure that the administrators, law enforcement, and others recognize that and don't put folks in harm's way. So I understand the concerns that those students have. I also understand that we have First Amendment rights that must be protected, and so, in doing so, much like when they were marching through Skokie, the KKK, this isn't new. It's not. And we cannot, because of the discomfort, retreat from our values of the First Amendment for that. But we have to keep people safe.
So if they're chanting from the river to the sea, how do you score that?
You know, that's one of the things that we talked about yesterday. It for the listener, some listeners hear that and take that to be have a meaning that is harmful and threatening. There are other listeners who hear that and say that it has a different meaning. Now, if someone says, I hate Muslims and I want to hurt you because you are a Muslim, or I hate Jewish people and I want to hurt you because I am Jewish, those are like clearly delineated. The way that the statute is written, the Illinois Hate Code statute is written, is that someone commits a hate crime when they, in the commission of another crime, are doing it based on someone's religion, race, gender, sexuality, sexual orientation. And so, yes, you have people who can hear the exact same phrase and take a different meaning from it that might not raise to the level of hate crimes.
It might
and
not
so we have to
raise
look at that
to the
and,
level. I know that,
no,
but I mean, all right,
absolutely.
but it's interesting that you say, how does the person hear it versus
correct.
What's the intent of the person saying it? Maybe I can't get in the
correct.
Mind of the person saying it. Maybe they realize it works both ways. But if a Jewish student is offended by or fearful for that phrase, I mean, some of the people, maybe not at Northwestern, but some of these kids are with bullhorns going up to the police or their rivals and screaming some of these phrases and chants. That's where it starts to escalate, right, Kim?
Well, I think what we have seen here is not the level of escalation that we've seen in other places. And I think it's really important to say that. And I also recognize, again, that for some folks, trying to parse what a meaning of a phrase, which very rightfully for either, they can say, hey, this means something offensive to me, and someone says this means something that was not intended to offend.
But then I hear you saying that you will tolerate that, though. And by the way, I'm not trying to box you into a corner here, but I just wonder,
yeah,
these are real-time decisions that have to be made.
You're not boxing, I'm a lawyer. I get how this goes. But if you go to certain communities, and I think we have to be really careful, particularly in the media, that there are some communities who say, listen, this is a song. This is part of something that has been in my family for generations. This phrase means this to me. Just as there are some who can hear the exact same phrase and say, hey, in my family, it means this. And the real-time decision isn't like trying to interpret whether or not someone is trying that is in fact what their family traditions are. The real-time determination is on scene, are you doing something that is threatening and insightful to someone else? And that is, it's a difficult thing to parse. It's why we wanted to talk to our administrators, because they are having to make these decisions in real time, and we don't want to inflict on someone a designation that doesn't belong.
Fair enough,
and
but
I
that
think
does
we have
mean,
to be
I do,
careful.
But I hear you to say then that in some circumstances that speech would be tolerated. I also saw the editorial about...
It's not tolerated. I think we have to be careful, John. I think we have to be careful.
I'm just trying to figure out what we can anticipate. What I mean, it would be nice if we knew what to expect.
I can tell you, we've been doing it for the last 7 months. This is nothing new is happening here. What we haven't seen, and I think it's important to say that, is what we saw in Columbia last night, what we saw at UCLA. This policy that we've had has been in place for 4 years. And what we've been able to do with our partners in the Chicago Police Department, who've been aware of it, with these university presidents, who all agree that we don't want to escalate any tensions anywhere. And we don't want to incite agitation mm-hmm. by doing something that's unnecessary. It's not new. So what we can expect is what we have been expecting. And I'm really proud of our administrators at our universities, our police departments, who have, in these last few months where escalating tensions have been working to de-escalate so that we aren't watching what's happening in other places.
I'm pleased. I would echo that. I'm almost proud of the administrators and the students in the Chicago campuses who seem to be able to do this without it becoming what we're seeing, as you said, at Columbia or UCLA or other campuses. I'm out of time, Kim, but there was just one other thing I wanted you to comment on, and that was the editorial in the Tribune the other day that agreed with you that peaceful protesters say at the DNC will not enjoy some of the same immunity they've enjoyed in the past. Can you just give us a comment on what your office is thinking about for the upcoming Democratic National Convention?
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I don't know that I said that they wouldn't enjoy an immunity. What I said was that we are working with our partners, the Secret Service, and the other federal partners on a plan to deal with the DNC, specific to the DNC. I'm not at liberty to disclose what that is at this moment, but certainly we're working with all of our partners to ensure that, much like we've seen here and can actually be proud of over the last 7 months, we're able to replicate at the DNC when we know that there will be people here who are not acting peacefully, who are not coming to be in righteous anger, but to disrupt. And those people will be handled accordingly.
I hope we can talk again, Kim. This has been very helpful. I appreciate your time today.
Of course, always.
Kim Fox is the Cook County State's Attorney.